following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is Black Lace. Welcome to turn 25 of A Worthy Opponent, the Hearthstone podcast that we put on. We being myself and Autumn Spain. Autumn Spain.
Rogues are experts at chivalry.
That one was actually painful. Which card was that?
A shiv is supposed to be painful.
Oh my god.
That's from the basic card, shiv. Deal one damage, draw a card for two mana. And it's actually the first time I've read a basic card for reasons which we will discuss later.
Yes, I also wanted to mention that the flavor text that you see sadly cannot be seen in-game. We can see it when we're in crafting mode.
And that's it.
That's it. And it would be kind of cool if people could see it when they're looking at even their opponent's cards. Their opponent might have a card they don't have, and they would, like, you know, hover over it and see what the card does. But it would be neat if they could see what the flavor text says,
yeah,
too.
It would clutter up the screen. It's not like Magic Gathering where you can sit there and look at the cards and see all that stuff. I mean, even the artist name, which would appear on a Magic Gathering card, or any other card game I've ever played for that matter, you know, they have it right on the card, but in this game, I guess in crafting mode, that's the only place you could see it. Like, Alex Garner did this particular card art. Actually, it's pretty cool card art when you make it large. Sometimes the art is so small, you can't really make it out.
Does it make it shimmer?
There's one card, Heroic Strike, I think. I don't remember what it is. And the first few times I looked at it, I thought it was a heart. And not like a pretty Valentine heart, but an actual organ that's been taken from the chest. And then I looked closely and realized it was a person doing something.
Oh. All right. Well, we have a lot to talk about tonight. So just in case, you know, we're going to let our listeners know, we may not be discussing the rogue this week, which would push the rogue off to next week, and then the priest even further.
Not that we haven't played the rogue, not due to lack of preparation, but because
due to new, interesting, cool stuff.
So much to talk about.
So let's get started. You've got the big news of the week.
The big news of the week is the announcement of BlizzCon. And pretty much everyone who plays a Blizzard game should know what BlizzCon is. In fact, we did an entire episode surrounding BlizzCon very early on in our career. We're 25 now. I think that was like episode turn 2 or 3 that we did the last BlizzCon one. But BlizzCon is going to take place once again at Anaheim, California, November 7th and 8th, 2014. And there's a couple of things to note about this year's BlizzCon, like the price.
Oh, ow, yes.
So if you manage to get lucky enough to get the tickets, you're going to pay a bit more this year. I believe last year it was $175 for a ticket. Maybe it was $150 earlier than that.
Do you know what I think about when I think about trying to get a BlizzCon ticket and people sitting there? I think about that episode of Big Bang Theory.
When everyone's
where they're
sitting
trying
there,
to,
clicking.
Yeah, they're all sitting and they're all trying to click, 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 click to see if they can actually get a hold of it and actually win one.
Well, that episode is based on events like this, people trying to get into Comic-Con and BlizzCon and all those other cons that people just can't wait to get to. But the price this year is $199, which is up.
That's pretty, yeah.
You can only get 4 tickets per person, per household. So there's a few things to note about that I'll come back to. But the BlizzCon benefit dinner, each year they have prior to BlizzCon, I think the night before, they have a benefit dinner, and all of the money goes to Children's Hospital of Orange County. So as much money as Blizzard takes in, and people talk about how rich they are, they give an awful lot to charity. I mean, the sale of a brew hound, or whatever he was called, that little, you know, the hounds that carry the jugs under their throats, like you see in all the cartoons, that they're running through the Alps and they rescue the guy with the little jug of bourbon or whatever it is. They had a pet like that that was for charity, or at least half of it was. And they made like $1 million or more than $1 million that went straight to charity. And of course, for every dollar they gave to charity, they also got themselves. Blizzard, he's probably there at that dinner, or she. And that dinner is going to cost $750 a piece, plus that's applicable taxes and fees. And, yeah, and that's up, because I think it was only $500 last year. The other big thing to note is that Blizzard has always sold the tickets at their own site. Now, tickets will go on in two different batches. They've done that before. Wednesday, May 7th at 7 p.m. Pacific time. So if you're not in Pacific time, you'll have to do the math. And also Saturday, May 10th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And that's where you pay. But this year, they're using a company called evenbright.com. I guess they're like a Ticketmaster or something. And that's where they're going to sell the tickets. But the unusual thing about this is that they this company charges a fee, so when you actually go to the site to see the sale, you're going to see price $199, fee $4. So you actually have to pay a $4 fee for buying the ticket, and I don't know if that's $4 for the transaction or $4 for each ticket. I'm wondering if you buy four tickets, is that an extra $16 that you have to pay? As if it's not expensive enough already. But not that it matters. They'll sell out. They always sell out. They could make these tickets $500 each. They would sell out. People will go. And probably most of the West Coasters would go because, you know, they wouldn't have to worry about the hotel and all of that. Because plane fare, think of all the thousands of people who come from all over the country, all over the world for that matter, and they fly and they book hotel rooms and sometimes for several nights. They make full vacations out of it. Maybe they're seeing friends in the States. I'd love to go, but
even guilds.
Too rich for my blood. Yep.
A lot of guilds get together at these things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a bit pricey. Yeah.
But here's the other thing. That they've announced the sale of the tickets for the regular BlizzCon. The sale of the tickets for the Children's Hospital benefit go on sale May 14th at 7 p.m. Pacific time. They have not announced the details about the virtual ticket, but they will have one. And to me, that's the best. And as much as I would enjoy going to BlizzCon and meeting people and seeing things up close and playing the games that are going to be released soon, there's nothing like sitting in my own chair watching all the panels, and if I miss one, I could flip back and see it, and I don't have to fight people for seats or arrive an hour ahead of time or worry about I missed the chance to get in and all the seats filled up. I could just sit here and watch BlizzCon and collect my free virtual stuff, like my Warcraft pet or whatever.
The Hearthstone cards. Last year we got the
Hearthstone cards. Last year we got the Elite Tauren Chieftain.
Yes,
that was kind of fun.
The gold.
And if I don't play it anymore, the gold.
Yeah, there are. If it wasn't such a competitive game, if it really, really, if casual meant actual casual, there are cards that I don't play that I should play. I need to make a silly deck.
And well, speaking of casual, how did you do this week?
I played in casual all week, and I had a much better week than I did last week. I probably should have gone and done some actual ranked play, but I was just enjoying myself. And this wasn't like last week. Last week's, I don't know, maybe it was, maybe you were right. Maybe everybody was doing the other game, and that's why we were just facing all the hardcore players. But this past week was great.
Yeah? Did you play the rogue a lot?
I did. I played the rogue a lot. I did. I got a basic deck off of Icy Veins.
Mm-hmm.
And I put one... I think I put one legendary in it, and otherwise I pretty well conformed to what their deck was, and I had a lot of fun with it. I really did. It was quick. I like quick-paced games. I just have to be fast, or I get bored. And they were. They tended to be very fast games. Got a lot of creatures out. Got a lot of creatures out, then back in my hand, then back out again, and then hit them for this and that and the other things, because I did this card and that card and that card. I like the ability to kind of, if you've played this card, you up what you can do with your next card.
The combos
are fun. So it was a different, it was different than the shaman, and then with the shaman you use up your mana with the, and you know, you're using your mana ahead of time, which is nice, but you pay the penalty. I didn't really find that much of a penalty when I was doing my combos.
Yeah, sometimes they can have a drawback. I got out a 12-12 Edwin Van Cleef, and then promptly got it turned into a frog. I basically spent every card in my hand. Now, those cards did something. I was doing damage, or I was playing minions, or I was buffing minions, and some of them were a little play the card just to play the card. Like, to play a minion and then cast the card that brings it back to your hand just so you could play it again. That's not adding any value to the game other than giving you the extra combo to make Van Cleef tougher. So in some senses, that's a waste of the card. And then I get this 12-12. I'm like, I'm going to stomp all over this sheep. Frog. So... yeah, you have to be careful about putting all your eggs in one basket, which you could very easily do. But let's get away from talking about those things about the rogue, because there's lots to talk about. We even got a letter about it from our friend Shaded. But casual was great for me this week. I played tons and tons of games with the rogue, and I won and I won and I won. I said, oh, I'm doing real good. Let me get into ranked mode. And I get into ranked mode, and I'd win one. And then I'd get knocked down. And I think I started out at 17. And right now, just from playing the rogue ranked, I'm back down to 19 again. So
yeah,
I go back into casual.
Where am I ranked?
I go back into casual and I win. But I really wanted to make gold this week, and I got a lot of mage quests. So I have over 700 gold saved up just by playing the mage in casual. And I cannot believe how well I'm doing. Casual was the bad place to be.
Yeah, it's balanced out. I think I've got about 500 gold. And just to remind people, the reason we're saving is because we don't know how much it's going to cost to open the Wings of Naxxramas, which should be coming within the next few months. So we're starting to save our gold now as opposed to buying more packs, which is very hard for me because I like spending my gold and opening up my prezzies.
Absolutely. I do have one theory as to why we're winning more in casual. Casual is based on your personal rank, not ranked rank, but how well you've done, how many wins you've had. I heard that there are some requirements, like you have to finish all the intro. Now, this past, including the practice modes, although I heard, and I'll have to get this verified, that you actually have to beat all the practice mode opponents in expert. And it was so long ago that we did the tutorial and the basic start, I don't remember if we had to win in expert mode or not. I don't think so. But
I don't think so.
I had a quest, and it says, win 7 games in any mode. Guess what, folks? Any mode includes practice mode. So I went into practice mode, and I won 7 games, and I tried to play different classes. I beat the hunter, no problem. I beat the paladin, no problem. I beat a mage, no problem. I beat the warrior, no problem.
But then the priest...
I played the priest, and this basic priest deck with no legendaries, no rares, and no epics, beat my finely tuned deck. I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, am I that bad? And then you said the same thing happened to you.
Yep, priest and basic decks are just as nasty as the ones that are constructed with legendaries.
Now, do you think they changed them from Alpha? Or do you think this is the same?
No, they did change the priest. They had a couple of different cards that they tweaked over the past few months. I didn't keep track of all the different cards they've changed, but they did do tweaking on the priests, and I think we are seeing that effect because the priests are just really hard to beat.
Yeah, I guess they had to because they made all of those nerfs and changes to all those cards.
Yep, initially the priest and the druids were very weak decks, and they did a lot of tweaking to try to fix that, and they did.
All right. Well, I hope that they maybe back off on it a bit, because we're, you know, not expert players, but experienced players, and we had a hard time with the priest. Can you imagine somebody playing this game for the first time?
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely frustrating. Definitely. Can I talk about my bling now?
Your what?
Bling. I want to talk about the bling.
Go ahead, Blingtron. Talk about your bling.
Okay, Hearthstone. New Hearthstone products in the Blizzard Gear Store. I'm excited. I want a throw pillow. They have a Hearthstone throw pillow. Yes, they do. It looks like a big gray rock, and it's got the Hearthstone swirl of blue in the middle, and it just looks really cool, and it looks like something that I can throw at you. I mean, I can put on the couch and relax against.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's nice. I wouldn't throw at you the other things they have. They have posters that are made out of sandstone.
Yeah,
so no, I wouldn't frisbee those in your direction.
No.
The mug, I wouldn't. I don't throw pottery. So there's, again, a nice white mug. There's a four-coaster set made out of sandstone that's very pretty. We saw at BlizzCon last year. They showed it. Now they're selling it. Is a Hearthstone screensaver that looks, it's styled after the Hearthstone box itself.
It's not a screensaver.
Screensaver cleaner. Sorry.
A screen cleaner.
Screen cleaner. Okay.
Does anybody use screensavers anymore?
I do. But we take the words, we take the words screen cleaner out of here. And so the Hearthstone, I'm going to crawl under my Hearthstone rock now. Hearthstone screen cleaner. Say that five times fast. I dare you. It is not.
Did you say green cleaner?
It's not green. A mouse pad. Shut up, Autumn's Bane. It is not a mouse pad. It looks like it could be, and I hope they make a mouse pad that looks like that, because that would be rocking. So it's a cloth cleaner for your screen. Looks like the Hearthstone book. And then they have t-shirts, his and hers, with the Hearthstone swirl in gold. Well, the swirl is blue, but the gold star around it.
And
then
of course, the girl's shirt has a little indentation for the waist.
Of course. They're not V-necks, though. I'd like a V-neck. They're not V-necks. And then they also have the Hearthstone with the actual cartoonish art of it. Everybody sitting around the Hearthstone table and playing. So there you have it. And then one person made a comment about it. That I just have to read because I just laughed. His comment was something he wanted to see in the store. It was Mo Bogsley said, "I wouldn't mind some Hearthstone sleeves that I can use on my magic decks."
So for those people who haven't actually played a physical card game, back in the day, and I guess it's still going on now, people were so paranoid about their cards being damaged that they would buy these plastic cases, and they were very thin, and you put your card in and it protects them. And they'd actually put their entire play deck in these sleeves, and they'd shuffle the cards with the sleeves on, and they'd play the cards with the sleeves on. And this guy's suggesting making those sleeves with a Hearthstone back, so that when you're holding up your hand, instead of seeing your opponent seeing Magic the Gathering, he's going to see the Hearthstone back. That is pretty funny.
Yep. Out of the Hearthstone store and into the Hearthstone game, we are going to be seeing our new backings very shortly. Season one is ending, Pandemonium, coming to the close at the end of this month. With it are the chances of acquiring the Pandaria card back for the collection. The card back will only be available during ranked play season one. So if you haven't done it, go into ranked before it's over. Hit rank 20 before May 1st. Now, ranks 25 to 20, you don't lose stars. So you can advance. Do it before May 1st, which is just a couple of days from now, in order to qualify. And then you will get that card back once it's over.
And that's it? This month alone? If you don't get it this month, you don't get it at all?
Nope. That's correct. This is the only time. Now, Ranked Play Season 2 is going to have a new card back along with it. They're not showing us what it looks like. That's going to be going to be unveiled on May 1st.
You think they're going to do that every season?
No, I think this is just like the exciting beginning.
Because they would run out of designs pretty darn quick.
Yeah, I think that would be much.
I could see like Season 20, the happy face card back. You know, the smiley yellow face with...
Oh.
That is like just running out of ideas. But the ones we've seen so far are pretty nice looking, so it'll be nice to get.
Yeah, this is very nice. So they've got the Pandemonium Hearthstone back, Fireside Hearthstone back, and then in May they're going to unveil the Ranked Play Season 2. Now, while we're talking about Ranked Play, I did notice... they had the countdown started again. I saw that the season ended in 10 days. Then I didn't see anything for a few days. And then I saw the season ending in 5 days. So I think instead of having it every single day, every time you log in, they're now giving you just a quick reminder towards the end of the month that the month is ending and the new season will begin. Autumn's Bane?
Yes?
You have... news also. We're going to go on to what if I wanted to play this on my Xbox?
Cannot play it on the Xbox. The Xbox you don't have.
Right. What if I wanted to play it on my PS something or other?
Four? The PS4 you don't have? Nope.
Correct.
Can't do that either.
Okay. So, why not?
This breaking news, and this literally just broke today, like 10 hours ago. Member of Blizzard, Hearthstone team, the production director, Jason Shays, had an interview with, I'm trying to see what site this is, Eurogamer.net. There was an interview, and we're still waiting for our interview. Zariah says we're on the list, but anyway, they had a phone interview, and the people there... asked the Blizzard staff, what about the idea of consoles? Diablo's on console, why not Hearthstone? And Jason says, the idea of getting it onto console has come up from players. It's not something we're actually looking at right now. We feel like we have our hands full in the short term with getting onto Android as soon as we can, which is kind of one of the big priorities we're looking at right now. So, for you Android lovers, they're making this a priority. Hopefully, we'll see it real soon. I would not be surprised if we see it at the latest at BlizzCon, but I bet much sooner than that.
I hope it's sooner than that. I so want to play it on my Galaxy. I have Hearthstone envy.
Yes, you do.
I do.
I get to play at work now. I got two games in today where I just... played my mage twice, won both games, back to work. But kind of nice to be able to just play wherever you go.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to it coming out on the Galaxy because that would be the Android.
Yeah, so I'm not going to read the whole article. That was the key piece that I found the most interesting. And this being breaking news and us being a sort of quasi-hemi-demi-semi news program, I thought I would bring that out. But anybody who wants to read the whole article, Eurogamer.net, Eurogamer.net. So go have fun, read.
And next, I would like to give a shout out to R. Thompson80, who gave us a 5-star review. Thank you very much.
On iTunes.
On iTunes. And then we also had another iTunes review, which is a 3-star review promising possibly more. Why don't you talk about that? We have some things that this writer had sent to us that actually we should address.
Yeah, so normally we do these shout-outs at the end of the episode, but this guy was very clever. I think if you really want a podcaster to do what you want, you just, you know, entice him or threaten him, depending on which way you look at it. So
entice.
I'll go with the entice. He's clever.
My glass is half full.
Definitely points for being clever, because this is the way to get the podcaster's attention. He says that it's a good show, and he's got two complaints. So, first complaint, the podcasters need pop filters. So, we wanted to explain that we know that there are some very high-quality podcasts out there, professional level, people who have a lot of money invested, people who have actually built studios in their homes with expensive equipment, and they do all kinds of things in these studios, and they do the podcast. In fact, some of them do multiple podcasts, and they have these big microphones that you see on the old radio shows, or if you're watching a video, you know, like making of The Lion King, and you see the guy in the sound booth with the giant microphone, and it's got like a little mosquito netting in a round circle in front of the microphone. That's a pop filter. And that pop filter is there to prevent the weird noises that I am constantly making.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I listen to a podcast that we do, and every week I listen to it, I hear what sounds like me sniffling at the end of a sentence, which isn't true. I have not sniffled. No, not snorting, sniffling. Like, you know, sniffing something up my nose. Or
the long and short
I am not
of it.
Snorting cocaine during the podcast.
Not in vain. The long and short of it is, unfortunately, I use the $29.99 Best Buy special.
Right. Well, the long and short of it is, first of all, we use headphones. The headphones with mics. So it's the same headphones we use to raid in Warcraft. But mm-hmm. One of the reasons we use headphones is so that we could hear each other, so that we could hear our producer, Xander, when he needs to talk to us. We need to communicate, and to communicate, we need to hear. But also, we don't have the money for that big expensive stuff, and I guess we're casual gamers. We're also
casual podcasters. Our apologies. We would love to be able to do something like that. I have moved my microphone away from my face a little further, hoping that will help a little bit of the popping that you might hear, or the breathing or whatever. So, you know, we're going to do what we can to make the audio quality of our podcast better with the equipment dealt to us. And I have to say dealt to us because it's a Hearthstone podcast.
I see.
The hand we're dealt.
Well, you always sound great. So he's got to be talking about me. He's got to be talking about me. So not counting the fact that, you know, we were sick for a couple of weeks, and you're constantly hearing our dogs and cats and birds in the background, plus all the sound effects that will get added in later. But you can't put a pop filter on a microphone on a gaming headset, unfortunately. But the next thing is something that we can do. And thank you for pointing this out, because how this escaped us is beyond me. We actually have looked for it in the past. When we talk about cards, we have the game up in front of us, and we put it in crafting mode. And when we're in crafting mode, we sometimes skip the basic cards, because the basic cards do not show up in the crafting mode. Unless... want to tell
unless
them
unless you press button under filters that says include soulbound cards. We go into crafting mode because crafting mode will show us the cards we don't have. That's why we're actually in that mode, so that we can see all the cards, including the ones we don't have. But we didn't have the little button press that says include soulbound cards, so we'd have to flip between the two. It was so much easier.
Sometimes
thank
we miss
you
them.
Bruggy.
So, well, here's the thing. I had once upon a time clicked include Soulbound cards. The
it
problem is,
off.
It doesn't remember it
right.
every time you go in. So I don't know why after the first time when the Soulbound card stopped showing up, we didn't look to press the button again. I just thought it wasn't working that way anymore.
Yeah.
But also, while we're talking about the UI, I need to apologize for calling the people at Blizzard liars when they said you can now minimize the screen in windowed mode. I hadn't realized that there was a settings. If you go to the main menu and you go to options.
Actually, you don't have to go to the main menu. I just did it in crafting mode. You go to the gear on the right.
Yes,
you hit
that's
options.
What I just did. You go to the gear, which is the options, and then you'll see a button for full screen or windowed mode. The thing is, the windowed mode does not take up my entire computer screen. It leaves the edges showing the back of my computer screen. But the good news is I can minimize it so that I could see other things.
And while you're there, and in this options menu where you can change your graphics or your sound or your full screen, it also is the spot that you will be asking us, where do we change our card backs from? Right here.
Yep. So if you go down to the bottom of that same screen, you can see the current card back, and it's glowing blue around the edge. And I'm assuming at some point you'll click on it and it'll switch, or maybe they'll have several in a row. Right now it says default, and it shows the default back.
Might
with
be
the glowing
a drop-down.
Blue border.
I'll bet you that default becomes a drop-down menu. That's my bet.
Or maybe you just click through them. You click and it changes. You click and it changes. But so what had happened was, our reviewer said the podcasters need to select in crafting mode, show soulbound cards, so they stop bouncing around and missing cards. And he's right, and thank you. But then in parentheses, he writes, if these two issues were addressed, I will change my review to 5 stars, but they are big issues. And yes, they are, but we can only help with one. So I ask this, you've given us 3 stars and 2 problems with the problem. With the promise of going to 5. So my turn to bargain back. Haggle, barter, dicker. We fixed 1 problem, so maybe you'll go to 4 stars. Anyway, thanks for the review. I don't mind a three star review that says we're a good show. We're not greedy. We don't need the 5 stars every time, although that's
okay,
nice.
Okay, well, here's what I like about the review.
Mm-hmm.
It was constructive criticism.
Yes.
Here's your problem. Here's how you fix it. That's the kind of thing I like to see.
And it's not the first time we've gotten constructive criticism that we've actually listened to. Our reviewers, our writers, they all help us make a better show by giving us this feedback.
Yep. Speaking of feedback, I have an email that I'm going to read to you by Aquila. I like Aquila.
The Weeblo motto was Aquila.
Potato, patata.
Was Aquila will do our best. At least it was in the 70s. I don't know if they've changed it. Aquila is the chief.
I like Aquila.
Just sharing information. It would be 2 L's if it was Aquila.
So Aquila says...
You're going to make him mad by mispronouncing his name.
Okay, fine. Aquila. Dear Black Lace and Autumn's Bane, I really enjoy your podcast. Thanks for doing it. Had to write to ask your opinion on, quote, the issue, unquote. Honey, your issue's my issue. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I play on average maybe 5 games a day. I have not yet spent any money on cards, so I'm still missing many. Yet that's not a problem for me. I don't mind losing. I am right with you all the way so far. After doing dailies in ranked mode, I vary between 20 and 17 on the ladder, but
just
today
like
I
us,
had the,
yep. Between 20 and 17.
Yep. No, that's you. I'm 20 and 15. Huh.
Hey, all right. Do we want to bring up the 12 that I hit once?
Today, I had the day off and I played a serious ladder session. I started at rank 20. I took a warlock to rank 16. With each level past 18, I started to encounter more and more legendary cards played against me. Here it goes, guys. When I played, and again, this is not me, this is Aquila. When I played against a level 15 player, things were going well-ish. His next five turns were 1, Sylvanas, 2, Ragnaros, 3, some legendary card I've never seen before, which played some rock music.
That Elite Tauren Chieftains.
Yes. 4, Onyxia, 5, Ysera, or Ysera, however you want to pronounce it. But, oh my god, my heart goes out to you.
Ysera.
Yeah. By this stage, I was running out of ideas and cards, and after a brawl from him that left a single 1-1 Dragonling on his side of the board, plus the Ysera he just slammed down on me on 1 health, I happily tapped myself out of existence. Bravo. I giggled when I've seen people literally suicide that way instead of hitting concede, but I feel your pain. He says, I know some of the elite stream players have taken free-to-play decks to Legend, but wow, if I'm going to be encountering this depth of legendary density at level 15, is real progress ever going to happen for a basic player with a basic deck? And will it just get worse as more people get more legendaries? Maybe I just answered myself out of existence there. Anyway, apologies for the length of the email, and he goes on to talk a little bit longer, but that is the gist of it, and I am so with him. I would, the more you play into the deeper decks, the more you're going, the deeper ranks, the more legendaries you're going to see. Once I got to rank 15 myself, I saw legendaries. One person, when he brought out 4 legendaries, I just hit the concede button. If you're not playing a deck that has that many in it, you can't compete. So I see that problem a lot. My own thought was that Blizzard should kind of hold off and only allow 1 or 2 legendaries per deck. But again, there's a lot of people who would disagree with me on that.
I disagree on that.
See, you're one of them.
Well, my very first week playing in Alpha, I made that very same suggestion. And then I got lambasted by all of the elitists, jerks.
We played beta.
Yes. Well, early, it was closed beta and open beta. And I
right.
was thinking
we were
of
closed
beta as alpha. And I was put in my place and told why that would be. First of all, everybody would play the same 2 or 3 legends, and nobody would play any of the others. Because there are good legends.
If you don't have it, you're not playing it.
And there are bad legends. But of the ones that you mentioned, those are some of the top legends. A lot of people play all of those. Sylvanas is one of the most played legends. Ragnaros is definitely one of the most played legends.
I love my Ragnaros.
Ysera is kind of rare. I don't see it too much. I honestly think that there are rarity variances. That some rares are more rare than others. They used to do that when in physical card games, the cards would be on sheets and they would cut up the sheets and divide them out. There were so many cards, like common cards, there'd be multiples of them on a single sheet so that there'd be more of them in distribution. And maybe certain rare cards, because that was the limit of rare, they didn't have legendary. Certain rare cards, you know, in a batch of 10,000 or whatever, there might be, you know, 10% more of one rare than there was of another. And, you know, there's a card, Ali from Cairo, in one of the very first expansions for Magic the Gathering. And back then, there was no internet, so we were really left to our own devices. We didn't know what was valuable and what wasn't. And my buddy actually watched me open 2 in the same sitting, and being a very good wheeler dealer and having more knowledge than I did in this case, I managed to let him swindle me out of both of them. And I eventually collected the entire expansion except for that one card, which I had traded 2 away of. So Ysera is like the Ali from Cairo for me. I just don't see it that much, but a lot of people play it. But that aside, that person had probably a very well-worked-out deck where he had 5 of the most valued and usable legends. But if you reach that stage of the game, expect to see legends. If you're at 9
well,
and 10
even,
mana...
even Brawl. Brawl is, is an
Brawl's
epic.
An epic. Yep, so that guy had either a person who was one of those elite players who just wins a lot and saved up his gold and dusted all the cards he didn't and knew exactly what he wanted and crafted his own, or somebody who spent oogles and oodles of dollars to get them. And, you know, either way, he had a good deck and you were probably screwed. I don't think there have been people who took a basic free soulbound deck all the way to legendary. And if that's true, I'm going to have to go find proof of it somewhere, because I just don't believe that anybody could play with just soulbound cards and get all the way to legendary. A lot of those legendary players have not spent money. So when you say free cards, yeah, they're free. A lot of the best players just don't spend any money. They're so good at what they do, and they know how to design decks, and they know just what to dust and how to craft, and they have good decks, and they make it all the way to the top without ever spending a penny.
Okay,
you know,
so what can you do?
We scrub players pay for those elite players to play
yeah.
for free.
What can you do to combat that? Well, you've got to take a look at your deck and try to throw a couple of cards in that can take those kind of cards out. There's a rogue card that will basically destroy a minion on the next turn. There's another card that, well, of course, with you can make it a mount of
it was assassinate
you're
make, talking about.
Yeah, you can make it a sheep. You can make it a toad. There's Big Game Hunter. That would take out a card. So depending on what deck and hero you play, try to put a couple in, especially when you're getting up in rank, try to put a couple in that can help you when these cards get thrown at you. And at the same time, you're going to want to start trying to get cards that you can throw at them too.
Yep, direct removal is definitely...
Yeah, because once they start laying them out, it's rough. It is rough. And I heartfully feel that with you. It's ouch.
Now, last turn I mentioned I had taken Polymorph out of my mage deck, and I played my mage some more this week, and I realized, I don't have enough ways to get rid of a single individual minion without actually doing damage to it. And even a fireball or a pyroblast is not going to take out a Malagos, because Malagos has more health than a pyroblast can do. So I put the polymorph in, and somebody played a big card. I polymorphed it into a sheep and then used my hero power to pop it out of existence. You gotta have cards like that in the deck for the occasion of face, especially if you don't have legendaries. That's how you beat the legendaries.
Yep. So yeah, but once you start getting to the higher ranks, you're going to start seeing the better card combos and the higher, harder cards to get.
And decide which deck you like to play most. Find your favorite. Take a look at the class legendary, you know, like Edwin Van Cleef for the rogue or King Crush for the hunter, although we've talked about why nobody uses that anymore. But and if there is no really good legendary for that class, then look at the regular neutral legendaries. Find one that you like, find one that would fit into the strategy of your deck, and then save your dust. 1600 dust, get rid of a bunch of cards. If there's one class you just never play, dust those cards, and before long, you will have enough dust to make that legendary. I crafted Sylvanas, I think that's the only legendary I've crafted, but I really wanted her, and I wasn't getting her, and I just saved all my dust and made her. But you don't need a whole bunch of legendaries. I played two games today where I won and I still had 30 health left on my mage. I managed to completely shut down a warlock and another mage without ever taking a single point of damage. And it dawned on me after the game was over that none of my legendaries ever saw play in that deck. In that in that particular game. I had a legendary. I think I had Malagos and one or two others, because I do tend to run two or three legendaries in a deck. They don't all come out at the same time. But I won against these players without playing my legendaries, and you can too. You just have to be patient and learn how to design the decks to win without the legendary's help.
Or, as you said, be willing to just ping yourself out of existence and move on to the next game.
But it's here's the tough. Best part. You said you don't mind losing. So since you don't mind losing, there you go.
Okay, so we better wrap this up. We are definitely not going to be able to talk about the rogue tonight. Boo-hoo. We will talk about it next week. And then we'll push the little priest back a little wee. We are having our tournament. We have had about 8 people say that they want to join us for a tournament where the winner will be a guest on our show. Most of them have sent battle tags. We'll be sending them emails back. We're going to announce next week the date and time of the tournament. But we wanted to give our listeners another week to respond, to email us if they are interested in being in the tournament and possibly being on our show.
And we want everybody to email us, not to Twitter us or go to Facebook or whisper us in game, because
Don't assume that we know that you want to join if we know you personally, because we need to know in writing so that we can actually make the physical. We can't guess at who really might want to do it.
So if I need to send out an announcement in a mass email, I don't want to have to say, oh, this guy's not on email. How do I contact him? Where's his Twitter name and all of this? So we will be in contact through email. We probably have enough people to play. Unfortunately, some of the players have mentioned dates and time frames that are probably not very good. Like one person said that typically he plays between 10 a.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is what we are. Hopefully that was just a guideline and not a hard, fast time, because if it was, he's not going to be able to play. We're East Coast too, and that's just too late. We're looking at probably a Saturday or a...
You mean 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say, 10 p.m.
Okay,
to 1 a.m.
Okay.
So we probably are going to go with late on a Sunday or a Saturday evening, but we haven't fully decided. So if you haven't written us yet and you want to participate, please do write to us and we'll get things set up.
Okay, sorry. I just want to let you know where to send that email to. Obviously, we are at awohearthstone@gmail.com. In fact, to go through the normal ending spiel, you can find us on Twitter at @aworthyopponent. You can email us, as I said, on awohearthstone@gmail.com with just comments or whatever, or telling us you want to be in the tournament. And don't forget to send your battle tag. You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. And what is that other place they can find us?
Email, Twitter, Facebook. I guess
it's the one that I don't always use. No, because it's the one that we had a feedback on that we weren't aware of.
Oh, you're talking about Stitcher?
Satellite Radio. My brain just completely froze again. So that is how you can contact us. I am spoken out. Anything else you have to say, Mr. Autumnsbane?
I cannot think of anything else.
I'm sorry to anybody who was looking forward to us talking about the Rogue this week. We will talk about the Rogue next week. We just had too much news.
Yeah, there's like a drought of news, and then all of a sudden, bam, lots of news.
Hopefully the next news that I can give people, though, is that it's going to be out on the Android. Hoping it's as fast as and surprising as it was with the iPad.
That would be nice.
So, this is the end of Turn 25. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, our loyal listeners. And I am Black Lace.
I am Autumnsbane.
Happy hearthing.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.
tuning in to tonight's broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.